Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. It seems like we've been hearing for years about contraceptive options for men, including a male birth control pill that's in development and will soon be available. So what is taking so long? Jalise Rechman is a stem cell biologist and cardiologist at the University of Illinois at Chicago. He wrote an article for Eon Magazine discussing what he calls society's failure to produce male contraceptive options beyond the condom or the vasectomy. Dr. Rechman, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you very much.
Contraception is often considered the responsibility of women to figure out. There are certainly plenty of options for women, but also some risks. Like what?
Well, the risks that I specifically mention in my article are blood clot formation, and that's of interest to me, being a cardiologist. We take care of patients who have heart attacks. We're also involved with patients who have strokes, and blood clots are the cause of both heart attacks and strokes.
And this is for women taking oral contraceptives?
Women taking oral contraceptives. Now, it's still a very rare side effect. And in a study of over 1.5 million women in Denmark that were taking oral contraceptives, there was only less than a couple of thousand women who had heart attacks. But these are devastating side effects. So even though they're very rare, when they do occur, it's a big burden on the individual and the individual's family. And this is why I think it is important to think about the risk-benefit ratio and whether women and men should be more equitable in the sharing of the risks associated with contraception.
Well, there are many newer methods of male contraceptives that have been developed in the past few decades. Some hormonal, some non-hormonal, though none released into the market yet. So go through some of the options for us, please. The hormonal options, are they similar to the hormonal options for women, meaning the birth control pill, patches, and implants?
They're similar in the sense that the hormonal contraceptives for men that have been developed, they take advantage of hormonal loops that exist in the human body. And it's just that it's a different type of hormones that are used. Male contraceptives tend to combine testosterone with a synthetic hormone called progestin. The progestin is also used in female contraceptives, but what it does in male contraceptives, male hormonal contraceptives, is it activates a shutdown system in the brain, the part of the brain which regulates hormone productions in the testicles.
So why have these not yet been released in the market?
One of the biggest issues is that all of these male hormonal contraceptives have been tested in small trials, and we really don't know much about how would they work in terms of efficacy and in terms of their side effect profile if they were tested in a large trial that would involve thousands of participants.
Isn't there usually a much more aggressive path? I'm trying to figure out what is behind not pushing so hard for this male contraceptive.
The main reason for any drug company to get involved in pushing ahead development is profit. They crunch the numbers. Pharmaceutical companies are maximally interested in having a big market, big acceptability of a new medication they're developing, and be sure that the risk-benefit ratio is favorable so they're not going to get stuck with lawsuits or a lackluster market.
What might be the potential side effects at this point?
In the trials that have been done so far, the smaller trials, there has been report of increased libido. There have been reports of acne. And one of the largest trials conducted to date was going to be one of these very first definitive trials. It was going to be an efficacy trial where couples participated and agreed that they would only rely on the male hormonal contraceptive, which was an injection of testosterone combined with a progestin, and they would then report back how effective was relying just on this one method. So it was a very well-designed trial. But unfortunately, this trial was prematurely terminated in the year 2011 because there was increased observation of depression in the participants, more than the people who had organized the trial had anticipated.
The drug companies are driven by profit motive. Is there not a projection on their part that the male contraceptive would be a big seller?
So a lot of this development is being done by nonprofits because for some reason the drug companies do seem reluctant to invest in this. And it is because male contraception is culturally not yet established as something that would be a big market. I think it's just not clear to the people who make these decisions who would be actually paying for male contraceptives. First off, if they develop something that's for a definitive disease, we know that health insurance will have to come in and pay for treating any kind of disease. Male contraception would not necessarily be covered by health insurance. So that's already one reason why they might be worried. Would men be willing to pay for it? The second question is the cultural acceptability. Would female partners be willing to trust their male partners and rely on them regularly taking the contraceptives, or would women actually not have that trust? So there are these cultural questions that are still unanswered, and this is my own guess why drug companies are saying, you know, let's just stay away from this because we don't really know how much money we're going to make off this if we invest millions of dollars into bringing this to the market.
That's true. There's an entirely different motivation for a woman to regularly keep on track of her contraceptives because the pregnancy would be in her body. But I'm wondering, aside from cultural questions, any sort of ethical or religious questions? There are some religions that do bar the use of contraceptives, for example. Do you think that plays into this at all?
I think the religious component is definitely there. As you know, the Catholic Church has had strong opinions against various forms of contraception. And there might also be cultural aspects. You know, we always pretend that we have overcome the limitations of patriarchy, but, you know, we still happen to have a lot of patriarchal structures in our thinking, and we have just may have all slipped into the status quo of saying reproduction, that's really the role and responsibility of women. And I think it will take a lot of education and advocacy for us to say we have to move beyond that and we have to be much more equitable in the sharing. After I wrote this article, I got a lot of questions about this comment I made about the medical ethics of prescribing contraceptive pills.
Dig into that for us, if you would.
Sure. When a physician prescribes a medication, every medication has some side effects, but generally a physician prescribes a medication because the benefits outweigh the risks. So if you get an antibiotic, you might have some minor side effects from the antibiotic, but in general, we think that curing an infection is going to by far outweigh the risk of the minor side effects. When it comes to contraceptives for women, they're still prescribed by physicians, and physicians can ethically reason, yes, well, this female hormonal contraceptive might have a very rare risk of causing blood clots, but pregnancy itself causes a lot of blood clots too. So the risk of the hormonal contraceptive is offset by the fact that you're avoiding an unintended pregnancy, which has its own health risks.
Mm.
When it comes to the man taking the pill, from a societal point of view, there is a lot of health benefits ethically for the partner of the man. If the male partner takes their hormonal contraceptive and his partner does not have a pregnancy, avoids an unintended pregnancy, there's definitely a reduction in health risk. But the man who's taking the pill himself is not directly benefiting from that medical risk reduction.
Right.
Should a doctor ever take into account health benefits for family members or people other than the patient that doctor has a doctor-patient relationship with?
Jalees Rehman is with us. He's a stem cell biologist and a cardiologist. And he wrote about the many promising male contraceptives that are in development, yet none have yet come to market. So why is it taking so long? Well, it sounds like there are a number of medical and ethical and cultural reasons for that. Jalees, what are some of the potential non-hormonal options for male contraceptives?
So there's one which has been actually developed for a number of years, and it's already in clinical trials in India. It's called RISIC, Reversible Inhibition of Sperm Under Guidance. It's an acronym for this very complex term, RISUG. But what it is injecting a polymer into the vas deferens, the tubes which transport the sperm cells in the testicles. It sounds pretty painful, but it's a really a very short procedure, just a quick injection with a very tiny needle. And it's a very simple office procedure that's done in just a few minutes, according to the description in the literature. And what it does is that for many years, probably between 5 and 15 years, sperm cells are somehow become non-functional when they pass through this injected polymer in the vas deferens of the testicles. It's been tested in many clinical trials in India, and now a non-profit organization is trying to market this under the name Vasogel in the U.S., but it first has to do all the necessary clinical trials in the U.S. before it comes to market.
This is also being called a chemical vasectomy. Have I got that right?
Yes, chemical vasectomy. And the big difference between a standard vasectomy, which is extremely effective, and the only fully reliable method of male contraception right now available, the chemical vasectomy has the big advantage of being reversible. Mm.
Any indications or studies about the willingness to consider these kind of methods?
It turns out that we have some data, but these were studies conducted in the year 2000 and 2005. Both were international survey, one of international women, second of men. And it turns out the majority of women surveyed in different continents said they would be willing to rely on male contraceptives, and they also believed, the majority of them, that their partners would take them. Separate study 5 years later in the year 2005 was conducted, this time surveying men and saying, would you be willing to take a male contraceptive? And the majority of men said, yes, we would be. But there was actually interesting geographical differences. So in Europe, in general, there was broad acceptance. So, you know, 60 to 70% of men in some countries said, yes, we would want to try male contraceptives. In the U.S., it was only roughly half of men who said they would be willing to try it. And in other countries, such as Indonesia, the majority actually was not interested in trying male contraceptive.
Where do we begin to chip away at the impediments that would bring a male contraceptive to market and make it much more widely available?
The fact that we have a wide array of contraceptives already in development, that's already a very good sign, because it means we don't have to sit down and just invent a male contraceptive. We already have many good drugs that we know are somewhat efficacious. We may have questions about their safety, but we know that they're around, and we just have to work and improve on these contraceptives and actually get them tested in large trials. Then pharmaceutical companies might get interested once they see the positive results and might say, you know, now that we know they're efficacious and safe, now suddenly it's much easier for us to see how we can make a profit when we market them. That's the very first step. But the second step is also that we should have a more open discussion about this, educate each other about these opportunities. It's okay to have a discussion, but we have to be well-informed about risks and benefits instead of just having this gut reaction to contraception as being controversial.
Jalees Rehman, a stem cell biologist and a physician at the University of Illinois at Chicago, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
We do have a link to read his full article, Where is the Male Pill?, and all of the reactions to it at wordofmouthradio.org.